coming to you live from the Jim Butler Ballroom at the Mitzvah Hotel. It's time for another commute with your hosts, Faye and Brenda. This is Drive Time to Nova.
Well, here it is, one more Drive Time to Nopa.
It's a very special Drive Time to Nopa, isn't it, Faye?
We have, because I've driven to Nopa.
And just on your very last episode, you made the declaration, I will never go to the U.S. again.
Never coming to the U.S.
That has been your battle cry for the last year and a half.
That's true, it has.
And I broke you. I broke you down. Yeah.
I couldn't take the tears and the nails in my back and all the other torture, various tortures.
Well, I'd say about 6 months ago, I was asking you, oh, by the way, this is Brenda.
Oh, I'm Faye.
And this is your favorite drive time commute, Drive Time to Nopa. About 6 months ago, I started asking you if you were ever coming to these United States again.
And what did I say?
Oh, it hasn't been that long. I'm sure. Let me check my records. I'm like, you haven't been here since the election.
The border guard asked me today, when was the last time you were here? And I was like, oh, I don't know, 6 months ago, 9 months?
And what else did he ask you?
He asked me, how did you get this car? What do you do?
And you said, I'm a drug runner. I'm a salesman for a pharmaceutical company.
I sell supplements, is what I told him.
Mm-hmm. He has a lot of clients.
So after the strip search, they let me go, and I made it here.
And I thought you would have been here a little earlier, and I kind of was popping out the front door, and I was like, if he has to go into secondary questioning, I am never going to hear the end of it, because he's going to say, that's it. I'm definitely never coming back.
That's right. I would. Well, it's not your fault, though. I mean, if I got cert secondary, I was actually expecting to get secondary because I had a very large pink package in my back seat.
Do you have anything to declare?
Yes, I do.
All right. Let me open that package.
Right. And I had wrapped. Well, should we tell them why I'm here?
Yes, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Brenda.
Thank you, Faye. I know how you feel about your birthday, but are you against celebrating other people's birthdays?
Yeah, it's fine. I'd prefer, people should be allowed to celebrate their own birthdays.
Well, some people have the attitude that you didn't do anything, you just managed to stay alive for another year.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the me culture that has been going on since 1982, that these celebrations of birthdays are not going to go away anytime soon, especially with all these new kids that are being raised to think that they're the center of the universe.
Right, yes. Yeah, that's true. No, you're right. Birthdays aren't going away, but whatever. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I mean, I was nice to you. I got you a birthday present, and
no, you're always nice to me. And I mean, Faye here is slowly redecorating my apartment here with appliances. In one corner, we have a light. We have a computer. We have a screen.
Enough.
But now the latest appliance is.
Brenda got a scanner printer.
Scanner printer.
A color printer.
It's so compact and pretty, and it's really nice. It has an excellent quality. It was pretty easy to set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ink, which may or may not have cost more than the printer.
Yeah, it didn't.
And then some paper to get me going. So, you know, you are a proper gift giver, because if you give something that requires batteries,
exactly,
you give batteries, and if you want something that requires paper and ink, then
right,
you give that, and you did.
Yes, you want someone to be able to, here, I got you this thing, but you won't be able to use it until you go down to the store, find the proper thing, get the proper cartridge.
Mm-hmm. It's very straightforward. I have to say that since computers started you know, when I first had my first computer class, can I tell you really quick, I went to a place called Hamilton Business College. It's no longer exists. It's actually called something else now. And I had my beginning word processing class. That's what it was called.
Wow.
And I couldn't figure out what the fucking deal was. Like, what? Why do we have to go through all this crap to type on a computer when you have a typewriter?
Right.
And there's all this control F1, mm-hmm. F2, and it was like, what? And there was, remember the little strips of paper that would go across the top of your keyboard so that you would know,
all the cheat sheet.
Yeah, to print.
Alt F7 to print, or Shift F7 to print.
Yep, exactly. And I remember sitting in class thinking, what is the point to all this? This is so stupid. And I also remember one of my first jobs that had computers, there was all this double stuff. Like, you'd have it in paper, you'd have invoices and your billing in paper like you always would, but then you would back it up with computers.
Right.
And every night there was somebody putting in disk after disk, backing up everything they'd done over the course of the day.
I know.
It was double duty for a while.
It's funny because my first experience with word processing, I was very excited. I thought this was the coolest thing ever.
Really?
And the word processor I had to use was basically a machine language type of a thing. It was called Paperclip, and we used the Commodore PET computer, which obviously is no longer in operation, but any of you old timers out there who remember Commodores and the PET business machine, yeah, good old Paperclip. I miss it.
You do? I don't know what this was. I just remember the screens were always green and...
Right.
What was it, white?
Yeah, or black.
The ones I had were like green and they were about a foot thick.
Yeah, that's right.
Something like that.
Sounds about right.
And I don't know. I remember doing 10 key on those things. The keyboards were a lot different, too.
Right.
Are you tired?
And you had to stick the disc into the machine and then flip the latch closed.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, let's not go down memory lane. Let's talk about the future.
Okay. Well, so, yes, can we talk about what fun we've had today on my birthday so far?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Faye came down. He brought with him presents, which he wouldn't let me open until just recently.
Nope.
And we went to this local eatery. It's like an IHOP, but it's a local chain.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some sausage gravy and biscuits, which were meh. But you got a big hearty breakfast. You enjoyed it?
My endless pancakes and bacon and eggs. Or sausage and eggs, actually.
And it was good?
It was very good. Delicious. Just exactly what I was hoping for and expected.
Good. So then I was...
With very thick coffee.
Oh, yeah.
That was all right.
Diner coffee.
Right.
So I wanted to direct him downtown because I had an idea in mind. And unbeknownst to either one of us, they were having a protest.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown Tonopah.
Mm-hmm. We saw a bunch of... What were the hats?
I think they're called pussy hats.
Yeah, the pussy hats with the funny little ears.
Mm-hmm. And they're pink.
Yes. Many men wearing them, of course. I didn't see a woman wearing a pussy hat. Did you?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
There wasn't that many pussy hats. But we saw somebody wearing a sandwich board.
Yes.
And it said, impeach Trump now or something. Right. And I'm like, huh, I wonder, is this just a rando walking the streets?
Mm-hmm.
But then as the closer we got downtown...
The throngs of people started to show up.
There was tons of people, because, you know, my birthday on January 20th is actually Inauguration Day, too.
Right.
So it's been a year, and they decided to go downtown and
mm-hmm.
have a little chat about it.
Anti-Trump rally.
Yeah. So,
which if we had known about, we probably would have gone ourselves.
That's right. I have a pink pussy hat. My sister knitted it for me.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do was, I've got this tattoo that I got about 15 years ago, and I'm just over it, and I wanted to see about a cover-up. So I picked a random tattoo shop, and Faye and I went to it. And by the time we left, they pretty much convinced me that I probably won't be going back.
Right. There was one girl was quite positive in saying, we could do this and this to cover it up. And the other girl said, well, we can't really, we have to have an area that's three times the size of the tattoo to do a cover-up. And you kept presenting ideas to her. Well, could we do this? And, well, you could, but it's gonna like, the lines are too, blah, 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 blah. There was always some sort of an excuse about why something couldn't be done.
Yeah, and her first idea for the cover-up was a rose. Fuck off.
Right.
Rose on my wrist. And then she's like, oh, it's in a pretty weird place. Really? The wrist is so weird. You've got tattoos on your knuckles.
Right.
That's a smaller place.
Mm-hmm. And her eye.
Oh, what was it?
It was a heart. She had a little heart on, just on the outboard edge of her eye.
Yeah, she did.
Eyeball.
Didn't she have a piercing up on her other side? It was like,
I'm sure she had piercings all over the place.
Ooh, gross. So, I actually have some leftover ink. She was coming up with ideas about how to cover up, and I felt like we kept coming up with some reasonable ideas, and they just kept shooting them down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have an appointment, but I think I'll be, can't, I'm, I know, I'm, I've actually already forgot about it.
Right.
So, we'll be just not doing that. At least not with her.
Yeah. I recommend a second opinion.
Yeah.
There was a second girl there who was a little more enthusiastic about what you could do, and had some, I think her ideas were nice. The flowers, she said she could draw some flowers off of the wording and still sort of preserve the John Lennon part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure another artist, you'll have, you may have better luck.
And then she's like, oh, I go, well, maybe I'll just have to live with it. And she says, oh, well, we could redo it and brighten it up for you. And I'm like, why do I want the same crap just enhanced, even brighter? I'm not enjoying this tattoo anymore.
Right. Well, she didn't know that, though. She thought you just wanted to solve the word, the word list, the writing being blurred.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so anyway, that's been our, and then we came and I got to open my presents and he installed my printer and worked on my computer.
Right, your microphone. This, we worked on the studio, this very studio we're using right now. Don't we sound terrific?
I think we do.
I hope so.
Those lines look good.
Right.
So, on your last podcast, you indicated that work is going better for you.
Yes.
Did you want to tell us any details about that?
Sure. You know what? At the beginning, when the first month of work, I didn't know what to think because, for various reasons. I don't particularly like all of the people that I work with. In particular, my main boss has no personality. And there's a couple people in the office who are extremely negative. So that I'd rather be happy than unhappy. So that's a bit of a challenge for me. And you just can't get away from these people. The other thing is you come in to sit down and do your work and they just throng you and come into your personal space. And you can hear everybody in this office, right? It's a typical kind of an open cubicle setting, though not as bad as where some people work or where I've seen some people work. There's a group of about, within earshot, there's about six people that we can all hear each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a private conversation and you hear everybody else's telephone calls and conversations and stuff. So that's just a little annoying. And everyone is in your business because you'll hang up from a telephone call and they'll reiterate back to you, "Oh, that was really funny what you said about that guy. What was going on there?" And like, I don't want to discuss that. I already dealt with that. I'm moving on to something else. I don't want to have a conversation about my conversation.
Oh, you love scrutiny from your onlookers, don't you?
No kidding. I realize, though, I'm just as nosy as everybody else, though, because I listen to everyone else's conversations, too, and whatever.
Are you lurking? You're all a bunch of lurkers.
Yeah,
in
we're
the
all
office.
A bunch of lurkers, yeah. So some of the things I do enjoy, though, is I do have a working buddy that I work right beside. My coworker, though, who I've worked with actually for about 15 years over the various places. We both came out of dispatch. We both came out of the same dispatch centers and ended up here for the municipality that I work with. So, and she's a lighthearted person, same age, and we get along really good. We have the same sort of attitude. And
is that of gratitude?
Well, let's not go there.
Okay.
So that's it's nice working with her.
Do you guys make vision boards together?
No. We
are
no
sure?
Vision boards, no. Now, the other fun thing, which part of my job requires that I go out into the community and I go
and stalk people.
So I've gotten really good at this, and this is something I really enjoy a lot.
I'm sure you do.
These people who are trying to avoid me, and that you can't, who's in this building, what's their name, who's the manager, how do I find this guy? And, you know, some of these businesses, they're exterior workers, like contractors or whatever, and they don't ever go to their office or to their shop because they go directly to a worksite or something, so you can never find these people. So,
I've already heard one story about you following some dude in a parking lot.
Yesterday, we did a stakeout at this one place.
Jesus.
Because the neighbor, I went and interviewed all the neighbors, and they said, "Well, there's a truck that comes around between 4 and 4:30 every day, and they pull in, they just pull into their shop, and they close the door, and you don't see them again until the next day when the truck pulls out." So I thought, okay, awesome, I'm coming back at between 4 and 4:30 to see if this guy shows up. Well, he didn't show up, but
no.
So we were parked there in the parking lot, hiding, peeking around the corner. It's kind of fun.
Good Lord. Was that with your WB work buddy?
Yeah, that's right.
I think that should be her initials, or okay. Me and the WB are off
right.
to
it's
on stakeout.
It's funny because that's very close to what her real initials are.
Really? Now, if anybody's interested, you go looking through the whole country of Canada, and isolate WB names, and
right.
You'll find out who she is.
WB names and FD names for Faye Driver.
Oh, yes. How about T? I thought it was the Faye Driver.
Right, TFD.
Yeah, because you use your, really, Faye is your middle name.
That's true.
Your proper first name is the.
Uh-huh. So... you know, so there's been a bit of fun stuff going on. And however, now I just started. So we're assigned a list of buildings that we're responsible for that I have to check throughout the year. In 2018, I have so many buildings, and it's been a long time for us to start getting our list of buildings for various clerical error issues. In any case. Our buildings are starting to... Our
go
lists
on
are,
flying? They're starting to burn?
No.
You better get down to the C Avenue because that one building is starting to burn. There's smoke. There's crackling sounds.
Okay. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I don't either.
Anyway, so I'm starting to get my building, my buildings list, and... I don't know. I'm starting to get nervous now about what I'm going to be responsible for the next year.
Faye, I used to know somebody. I used to clean for her, and her father was somebody that worked for insurance companies, and he would come in and look at a fire after the fact and be able to determine what had caused that fire.
Yes.
Well, she had told me in his experience that if you ever want to set something on fire and not be able to get caught at it,
yes,
what you do is you take a bunch of rags and soak them in like fluids, like lighting fluid or paint, you know, paint yeah. remover, mm-hmm. and you just stuff it in between like maybe some cushions. And mm-hmm. eventually, they will spontaneously combust.
That is correct. Yes, absolutely.
How did you know that?
This is something we look for in shops and paint shops and mechanic shops. Oily rags are required to be disposed of or stored in a fireproof container that has a self-closing lid.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they do. The chemicals and such in oil-soaked rags, for instance, or solvent or turpentine or any sort
fluid.
Of paint-related items, those chemicals can spontaneously combust.
If there's no air, is the air the key that keeps them from?
Yeah, there's something about the fire triangle that makes these things spark up on their own. I guess they are creating heat in the evaporation process, and when there's a bunch of rags together, as these chemicals evaporate and or decay, heat is created. And if you get enough going, and
would you like to dissect
it's from heat, actually,
much like you told us about the transmission.
Oh, I'm so sorry about the transmissions episode. It just went on and on and on and on. I apologize.
It was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. It's just if you don't know what you're talking about, it's easy to get lost in all the details.
Yeah, I know.
But if you do know, I'm sure it was spot on, as they say.
Well, I didn't even cover everything. I left quite a few things. I didn't talk about...
Uh-oh, stop it.
Oh.
But back to your job, your fire job. So... you're not going to become one of those people that goes off and starts a fire.
How common do you think that is, Brenda?
How common do you think that is?
I don't know. Some of these firemen are pretty weird.
Do you remember years ago? Gosh, it has to have been like 20 years ago. Somebody found a VHS tape on the side of the road, and it was from somebody who had started a fire and then was recording the subsequent fire and had the audio of it, and he was just getting off on it. He was like, look at the flames. Oh, my God, look at it. Look at the flames. Look what I've done. He was just having a fit.
Yes, having a real Gollum moment, right?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
I think I do recall that.
And I think they were able to trace it back to the person who did it.
Oh, yeah, good.
I'm not sure, though. But that's one of my first stories I ever remember hearing, like, on Dateline, that I couldn't believe it. Like, people did this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was way before. You know, before I got on the internet, I was a pretty innocent person.
Yeah, you appear to have been.
Oh, I'm still innocent. I just know.
Yeah,
I am. It's the driven snow.
Yes, yeah, of course you are.
Do you see anything around here that is of questionable?
Well, I mean, you're not some kind of pervert or anything, but you're not the most innocent person. I mean,
how dare
come
you?
On. I see. I hear you talking. Look at that person with their pussy hat on. I bet I know what they were up to.
No.
Oh, Nick. There's that crackhead. There's a crackhead-looking kid who works in this McDonald's.
These are completely fictitious examples that you've come up with.
Barely fictitious, maybe.
I don't know about that. Some people... Never mind.
So, now, that's my work. So, you know, as I... You know, things are looking up. I'm starting to warm up to this job, and so...
About when this all started. Can you tell me exactly when you got the heads up that this was
I was told about 2 days before my 50th birthday.
That's March,
yep. That my job was being terminated within, you know, by the end of September, October, November, somewhere in there was the original date.
So that's... you were sitting on that for about 9 months, months.
Yeah, it was a long process.
There's a long Band-Aid just hanging on there by a thread.
Yeah, that my my passion for that job was really starting to wane by the within the last month or so or more of when we were turning off the switch.
So, what's the update on how the company is doing?
Oh, not the people, the firemen that I used to dispatch for are not happy.
Can you give us any general details without pinpointing anything?
Sure. Well, take this for instance. When you have an event, whether it's a medical event or a fire, at a specific address that you want to send some fire trucks to, it's the generally accepted method is to choose the closest fire truck and send it to that address because you want a fire truck to get to a place as quickly as possible.
That makes sense.
It checks does.
Out.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And part of being able to do that is being aware of where your fire trucks are. So sometimes our firemen don't remember to tell us that I'm not here, I'm somewhere else. That doesn't always happen. But part of the skill is keeping track of all your fire trucks.
Is that not in their skill set?
Well, sometimes they're a little dumb or they forget or they don't always understand the method by which we send them to calls.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't dispatch, but we do. Let's not get into it. We've found that the company that does the dispatching, for whatever reason, they're not entirely aware of where the fire trucks are all the time. So they'll send a fire truck from across town to a location which is blocks away from a fire hall where there might be two or three fire trucks sitting waiting ready to go. And this has happened on several occasions. It's not always because of one reason. Upon investigation, the reasons have been figured out, but because it happens far too often, there's a level of frustration that's occurring when you're sending a fire truck from essentially miles away to an event that's occurring within a very short distance of an available fire truck, right?
That's ridiculous.
And that's not the only thing. There's several things that are occurring, and having been in that position and trying to be generous and provide for some allowance for some learning time, some time for the new company to figure out and understand, I can see where some of these errors are coming from. But I can also see that they must be too busy with other tasks to be able to keep track, or they're relying very heavily on the computer system, because our computer systems will assist us in determining where the closest fire truck is. And if you rely too heavily on your computer system and you don't use your brain to second guess the computer, this is really where all these errors are coming from.
Sure. And they don't have the knowledge of your system.
Right.
Are they answering for other, do they get phone calls for all kinds of different places?
Yeah, currently the company dispatches for, I believe it's 17 fire departments. And some of those are extremely large departments, like the city of Vancouver, which has about 22 halls and about 70 fire trucks. And some of their departments are quite tiny, like departments that might have 5 or 6 halls and 10 or 15 trucks. So it's a wide range of the different sizes of departments and types of fire departments. But it's too much.
So if I was working for that company and I got a phone call, I would have to be really careful to notice where it was coming from.
Yeah, which municipality.
So there seems like there's a lot of opportunity for mistakes.
There is. There's also the situation where there's a road, for instance, called Clark Drive. And Clark Drive is in five or six of those municipalities that they'll dispatch for.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to make sure, you need to double check. Are you Clark Drive in Vancouver or Clark Drive in Whistler?
Right. Yeah, I hear that all the time. I'll hear the same roads where there's car accidents up there on the CBC radio. And I always think, good Lord. And then you told me the road went all the way across town and into Vancouver. And right. I'm never going to the Massey Tunnel, though. I tell you what, every goddamn day there's an accident in the Massey Tunnel. Can you explain that to me? What's happening? What kind of tunnel is this?
It's a tunnel that goes underneath a lake. And it's a three-lane, or is it a four-lane tunnel? But there's such a high volume of traffic that has to get through there. Plus the tunnel, it's leaking too, right? So as you drive through the tunnel, there's a bunch of water that drips down all the way through the tunnel.
Oh, wow.
And the tunnel will flood, in fact. And when it's really bad, the tunnel has flooded at the very, because it dips under the lake.
Yeah.
And then back up again, like a U, sort of a...
I've gone on one of those tunnels. It wasn't a lake. I think it was part of the ocean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Up on the East Coast, I've gone on one of those.
But what they do is they change. So there's two sets of tunnels. There's an eastbound tunnel, which has two lanes, separated by a big wall. And then there's a westbound tunnel, or the opposite direction, which has two lanes. But when the traffic is at highest volume, they change one of the lanes to the opposite travel. Mm-hmm. So through one tunnel, you'll have a single lane going east and a single lane going west, right?
Oh, is that where all the accidents are?
And all the accidents happen in the transition zone where the cars are switching from, you know, all lanes, say, eastbound, and there's an offshoot for the one lane to go into the opposite tunnel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the accidents all happen around where that transition zone is.
Well, the lady who does all the traffic talk, it's like every day her voice just sounds so exasperated. She's just like, well, you better stay away from the Massey Tunnel because we've got a big accident. They're still clearing it up and two semis have hit straight on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear. Well, so, you want to talk about my job a little bit?
Yes, tell me all about what's going on.
Well, I actually got to train somebody the other night.
Wow. Good for you. Well, did you get training pay for that?
Actually, there's preceptor pay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe I got any of that.
Oh.
I don't know why that is, but maybe I'll follow up on that. I'm not sure. But
right.
I've been feeling a little beat down lately.
Right.
And not like depressed, but more like just like shoulders down, just head down, that kind of feeling like, well, what am I supposed to do about this?
Right.
You know, like
just a sort of a minor feeling of constant defeat.
Exactly. Defeat. And I've noticed that when I feel defeated, that people seem to embrace me more because I guess I'm not irritating them with my enthusiasm.
Oh, so you're... I see.
So it seems like when I'm the happiest, I'm the most irritating. And when I am in a state of defeat, people are like, huh, Brenda seems...
seems normal?
Shut up. Isn't that a sad state of affair that when you're happy, everybody around you is just like, God, what's your problem?
Yes.
So I've noticed that people are finally starting to talk with me and... And I'm just in my mind, I'm like, I don't fucking care what you got to say.
Oh, wow. That's very bizarre.
No, and now they like me. What's up with that? I don't know. So I guess it's true, you know. You can't, whatever you can't have is all of a sudden
right.
what you want. Anyway, this lady that I was training with, I was belly aching about something. And she told me to hush up because...
Yeah.
She'd been battling cancer, and she has a chronic disease. And I was just like, well, I guess I'll just shut up over here.
Oh, that's too bad.
But I guess what I wanted to talk about, was this has been going through my head for some time now, which is a very abstract concept. It's hard to put into words. But there's always things that you're told when you're a kid that, or what I saw when I was growing up, there was a lot of, you know, well, life's not supposed to be fun. Nobody ever said life was fun.
Wow.
Don't you?
Well, what a cheerful childhood you must have had.
Nobody ever said that to you? Nobody said life was fun?
No, I think probably the opposite.
Did they really?
Yeah.
What were they saying?
The only thing we were always getting depressed about was that God was going to take you away. You know, like, if you're not a good Christian, you're not going to go to heaven. You know, God's, you better be good, or when the rapture comes, you're going to be stuck here on earth with all the sinners and the
yikes,
all the bad people.
Well, I got a little bit of that at our Christmas party from your father, so yeah. I can see. I was just around him for a couple hours, and it devolved into that conversation.
I know. Was he on you about, hey, do you ever go to church? I heard some of these questions coming out of him. He was asking you, you know, religious type stuff. Do you know about God, or do you ever read the Bible? These are his standard questions.
I can't remember what questions he asked, but I do remember him saying something like, you know, the only one that's important is Jesus, and we have to be, you know, we owe everything to Jesus, and, you know, something about maybe getting to heaven. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I remember the conversation heading that way, and I was thinking, okay, I got to rescue Brenda from this one. What am I going to do?
Well, he said, one time he said something, and I just didn't even know what to say.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I didn't know how to get out of it and seem polite without committing to taking the conversation on to stuff, because my knowledge of religion is pretty minuscule.
Right.
And, well, you said grace in a very believable way.
Right.
Was this just like a script that you've got in your head that you know to repeat?
Or? Yeah, that's basically it.
Because it was very nice. It was a very nice grace that you said.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. You know, we've been doing it for so long. It's just that.
Yeah.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's a script, but you know, you try to think of nice things to say about people in your life and to be thankful for.
Yes. Do you believe in God?
I believe people believe in God.
Do you believe in heaven?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Anyway, so that was one of the things they said when we were a kid. Nobody ever said life was easy.
Right.
Work is, you know, that's why they call it work. It's not supposed to be fun.
I believe you've said that to me
before. Long time ago.
I did.
Listen here, Missy. Nobody said work's supposed to be fun. Anyway. So there was always a lot of blind hope going out there in my life. Just like, can't be, you know, I was raised on television. So I noticed, like, when I've rewatched TV shows, that the shows that I really liked, there was always this message of people do the right thing. Eventually, even if you go wrong, steered wrong, people do the right thing. Are you okay? Where are you going? You can't leave during this dissertation.
I just wanted to grab my phone. I was going to look at my list of topics.
Okay, well, I will jabber on while you do that.
Tell me more, Brenda. Tell me more about how you feel about this.
Oh, great. So I noticed in all these TV shows, like I said, eventually everybody always does the right thing. And there's a lot of just like, keep trying. As long as you try, everything's going to come out all right. And just the other day when I was with this coworker, we had all these supplies.
The cancer-riddled coworker?
Poor lady. Yeah.
We
had all these supplies in a giant rolling tub, which normally has garbage in it, but we had put boxes of bags and paper towels and everything, and as they dwindled down and I had to reach further into this tub, I was too short to reach in.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So she had said that I'll get it because she was a bit taller, but then she was doing something, so I went to kind of tip it so I could the distance would be shorter. Right. Well, it actually was too heavy because of the supplies, and it came down and went honk, hit my leg, and I do have a very nice bruise.
Aww.
Right along here on my leg. And she says to me, she goes, "You just don't give up, do you?" And I was just like, "That's me. I just don't give up." But lately, I've felt a little more of this, like, I give up. You know, like, I can't keep trying and having these lack of successes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, question for you.
Yes.
Am I like the little engine that could?
Yes, definitely.
Why do you say that?
You're like the, you're more like that, you know, the cartoon of from Bugs Bunny.
Yep.
With the two dogs, where there's the older, mean bulldog, and then the smaller little dog who's like, hey, Mart, let's go over here and do this. Hey, Mart, let's go. Hey, did you see that? And the big dog kind of smacks the dog, the little one, and he goes flying off.
Maybe. Sounds familiar.
You're like that little dog that has so much energy that they want to do everything, yet they're slightly unfocused.
Exactly.
Right. So
very unfocused.
You have the best intentions, but the things just don't always work out for you.
It's true. I have a lot of interests.
Yes, you do.
And like right now I'm knitting you a blanket, and this is about the third or fourth attempt at this. Mm-hmm. And fucker, I am not giving up till this goddamn blanket is done. I will not give up.
Brenda, why you put yourself through these things?
Because I need to prove I can do it.
Ah, that's the reason, is it? Yeah.
Yes, that's the reason. But I feel like that part of my personality really irritates people.
Yeah, I can see that. It does.
Why? Why does the hopefulness and the happiness of myself irritate people?
I think it's because I don't know how to explain it. You have an enthusiasm, which is refreshing, right? But I think what gets you in trouble is that you won't stop and relax a minute and take a reassessment of the situation. And I think for you, you're so passionate about wanting to help or to accomplish something or to, you know, achieve a goal that you're kind of go barrel headstrong right into it without kind of seeing what the aftermath of what might end up occurring.
And is there an example you're thinking of?
No, I mean, I just in general, like, well, take for instance the birthday cake incident, where I had secretly gotten a birthday cake.
Yep.
And you didn't know because it was supposed to be a surprise, and you were upset because you really wanted to have a birthday cake for your birthday, because birthday cakes are important for your birthday.
Yeah.
And you went off on your own, kind of in a little bit of a huff, because I had secretly hidden this birthday cake, and you went and got yourself a birthday cake because it was very important to you.
Yeah.
And then, much to your surprise, there actually already was a birthday cake. So now you're stuck with two birthday cakes.
Yeah, and the cake that I got was much inferior to the one that you had purchased, and you were pissed off.
Yeah, this isn't about me. This is about you and your strong-headedness.
But I thought this was a good thing to do by taking the reins in my own hands,
yeah,
and taking care of the situation. I want a cake? Fine. I don't have to wait for somebody to get me a cake. I'll get my own goddamn cake.
That's right. And that's exactly the kind of things that happen when you have an idea in your head. You want this thing to be such and such a way, a certain way. And, I mean, in this case, I'm as much at fault as you are for not saying, I have a cake for you because it's your birthday, because it's a surprise and I love you. So I could have been more communicative about your cake. And then I've learned my lesson about that. But I mean, so there, that's the answer. That's one version of your situation.
There was one time I remember with my ex-husband, I had quit smoking, and this had inspired him to quit smoking. But he had come home. We were actually living apart for a year when we were trying to sell our house.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd come home for the weekend, which he did every weekend. And in the trunk, there was a bag, like a Walmart bag. And I said, what's in that bag? And he's like, nothing. I was like, what's in that bag? And he's like, God damn it, I was going to surprise you. And it was like nicotine patches.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He wanted to quit and surprise me. And he was, but I just wouldn't let it go.
Because
that bag wasn't there the last time he opened up the trunk. So I needed to know what was in that bag.
I will say, you're very clever about these kinds of things. Because if you want to hide something from Brenda, you got to work hard at it. Because she'll know. Like, you knew I was trying to surprise Brenda by bringing a friend with me today, a mutual friend of ours. And I didn't tell Brenda that the friend was coming. And then I'm getting all these questions from Brenda. When are you coming down? When are you coming to Tinopa for my birthday? I got to do this. Can't come until I got to come at this time because I can't tell her. I got to pick a friend up and I'm going to do this and the friend me and blah, 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 and all these secret plans to get the friend there on time. And she knows something's up because I'm not acting normal.
Well, you were very insistent. I didn't put it together until this mutual friend had told me. I mean, I wasn't that smart. She told me. She said,
yeah, but you knew something was up.
Yeah, I was like, why does he have to be back in town? And then I thought, well, maybe he's just got something better going on that he wants mm-hmm. to do. He's like,
I had two or three excuses lined up, and I should have told my lie, which was only a half lie. We have a friend coming into town Saturday night, which is the night we're taping this now.
Mm.
And I have to get back so we can see this friend who's only in town for one night.
What I figured out afterwards is when this friend said, hey, I was supposed to come today. And then I put it all together And I was just like, oh, that's why he had to be back in town, because she had to get on the ferry to get back home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really the only thing that, and that's why you had to
keep
saying.
This is typical of you. Your little spider sense will go, something's not right here. And then you clamp onto it like that annoying little dog, right? That.
My bone.
Yeah. And you go, you start rolling these things over in your head. And then it irks you and you can't let it go. And then you're like a dog with a bone and you're on it until you figure out the real truth and ruin all the fun for everybody else.
Oh, geez. Well, it was what got my spidey sense up was you go, what time do you want me to come? And I said, 10 o'clock. And you said, I'm coming at 9. And I'm like, what? I just said 10 o'clock. I'm like, okay. So then I didn't know. I just figured at that point, I was just like, oh, this is a tiny chunk of his day that he wants to get it over with, and then he can go back and have fun. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor Brenda.
Well, you're sneaky. How am I supposed to believe most of what comes out of your mouth?
It's because if I have one little thing I want to hide, I have to manufacture a whole network of lies to cover the one thing, because you always sniff it out.
Well, I knew. Okay, I sniffed out the present before I opened it just a while ago.
Well, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because there was paper.
That was obvious. I wasn't going to give you the paper until you opened everything else. But.
I know, but I was carrying the paper.
I know.
And then I went, oh, that's ink. Oh, that's a printer. I don't know. I guess it's the sixth sense of being a woman.
Must be. Well, congratulations to you for becoming more independent and more self-sufficient. And congratulations on your birthday.
Thank you,
Brenda. It's been a pleasure being here today, spending the day with you.
Has it?
Because I, too, have had my own challenges. And for me, this is actually feeling like a little bit of a vacation.
Good.
So I appreciate that. I'm sure someone has written to us. And we should thank somebody. Probably the Laughing Buddha.
No, the last person that wrote us was that Peter G. Let's acknowledge that. On the last episode of Drive Time to Nova,
right.
I had said that you were my only social outlet. And right. He was very quick to tell me. But I came up there and we went shopping. Mm-hmm. And Brenda didn't know what ragu was, which because it spelled like rag out. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's rag out?
Mm-hmm.
So I did apologize to Peter. I told him that I was thinking more on a short travel terms, like nobody had to drive 8 hours round trip and spend the night. And so I certainly do not mean to belittle, or it's not belittle, that's not the right word, minimize your contributions to my social life. That was the last letter we got.
Right. Okay.
But if you want to thank Laughing Buddha, go right ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Laughing Buddha. And thank you, Peter.
Okay, well, if you want to, you can write us at fayandbrenda@gmail.com.
All right. Have a lovely month.
Oh, there was one thing. Scotty sent us a...
Oh, we got a voicemail.
Scotty sent us a voicemail, and there was a question.
Yeah, okay. Hold the line while we get Scotty's question on here. We may have answered it already. Okay, here's Scotty's question.
Hello, Faye. Hello, Brenda. Firstly, Happy New Year. It's 7 a.m. the 1st of the 1st, 2018. Can you believe it? That last year went fast. Anyway, I know you're still in 2017 when you're receiving this message, but listen, Brenda, it's a question for you. A question for you to ask Faye Driver. Now that you're a regular worker, Faye Driver, and you have to go to work on a normal day, you only have your weekends, and you're finding it difficult to fit in all your chores around your tiny weekend window, and you're working 9 to 5 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Are you now going to become an ineffective, normal, everyday person like the rest of us? Who just simply doesn't have a cushy job with random days off in the middle of the week where you can pack in lots of production, lots of chores, lots of boxes ticked off your list, and now all you have is one day of the weekend? Are you going to become a normal person now, and will we see a new downgraded Faye Driver? Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, this is Scotty, your little Aussie Bella.
Well, thank you for the question, Scotty. Yes, indeed. I am now a new downgraded version of the Faye Driver. I don't get anywhere near the number of things done. Actually, I will say this. I am accomplishing all of my tasks. However, I have reduced the number of tasks that I do. And in fact, I'm actually not really accomplishing my tasks because I don't get my house clean nearly as well. And I just do not have the time to do all the things that I normally would have done. The cars aren't as clean as they usually could be. So it has been a real challenge for me to have weekends only, and I will say that I am not happy about that. I feel like I'm working pretty hard on my weekends when a person should be relaxing on their weekends, don't you think?
Yes, and now you have a a buddy to play with.
Yes, my friend. I have my constant eternal friend.
He likes to do activities.
Not Brenda, but my husband, who we get. Oh, what are we doing this weekend? Next weekend we're going skiing, Brenda.
Shut up.
Yes, for true.
Where is that gonna? Is it like with your family?
In Vancouver. No, it's with Mr. Anderson's work.
Wow, I would like to see pictures of that, please.
Okay, I'll show you everything you need to see. So,
and, I mean, he's the one that wanted to do the escape room, right?
That's right. We did an escape room experience.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that on the last drive time.
Right. So, Mr. Anderson and I have been doing more extracurricular leisure type activities. So that has been a good addition. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I...
Well, maybe I have to say I've never stepped foot in any of your cars where I'd even come close to calling it dirty. So even what you would call dirty is pristine to everybody else's standards. So maybe this will help you let go some of these obsessions.
Don't say those words.
What? Let go? Or
let go of obsession. So, yeah, that's that. Thank you very much, Scotty. Sorry we forgot you till the very end of the show.
I didn't forget you, Scotty.
Yeah. Thanks, Brenda.
You're welcome. Here's the bus and the wheels that I've thrown you under.
You're right. Okay, that's it for us. I am the Faye Driver.
I'm Brenda Boo.
Faye and Brenda at gmail.com. Bye-bye.